This is an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You are listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Andy's sight deteriorated in his teenage years as he was diagnosed with Stargardt's disease. Since then, he has lost all his central vision, but adapted to sight loss and now in his mid-40s, works as a civil servant and has four children. Andy joins us now. Andy, thank you for joining us.
You're very welcome. Glad to be here.
Let's start first with, can you tell us a little bit about your sight loss diagnosis and how did it feel at the time when you were in your teenage years?
I remember wearing glasses from when I was a really young age, maybe 5 or 6. And that was all fine until probably my secondary school age, so around about 11 or 12, I started to have trouble seeing what was on the board and reading kind of regular size print. So, eventually went to the opticians and then they referred me to the hospital. And after quite a lengthy process, I guess, I was eventually referred to Moorfields Eye Hospital in London. And they diagnosed me with juvenile macular dystrophy or Stargardt's disease. I think at the time they weren't quite clear which gene caused it, but essentially it's a bit like AMD for those who don't know. And then I've stayed under Moorfields consultancy ever since, but nothing that they can do, unfortunately. They have since identified the gene that causes everything, but unfortunately, just one of those things that had to slowly deteriorate over time. And I guess there's never a good time to lose your sight, but when going through it in your teenage years, that's pretty difficult. Teenage years are hard enough on their own without losing your sight at the same time. Particularly, getting through school, I had loads of support from friends and family and from the school itself, which was great. But of course, it's a really, really tough time. It was exhausting. And then even as I got older and I'd sort of managed to manage to deal with things, when my friends started to learn to drive and do those kind of things and travel around and seek work, another thing that was really, really difficult for me, and I obviously wasn't able to drive.
While you were adapting to life with sight loss, what did you find the most useful, the most helpful in that particular time period?
For me then, I think what helped me most was probably the support of my family and the school. When my sight began to deteriorate, we really had no experience of sight loss. We had no idea what the prognosis would be longer term. And we really didn't know what technology was available. At the time, specialist technology was really, really expensive. I mean, it is still today, but obviously you've got a lot more mainstream technology, which is also accessible. But at the time, equipment that was thousands and thousands of pounds. And I was in a mainstream school, not in a specialist school. So they didn't have kind of access to these kind of specialist equipment. But they did so much to help get me through my school years, enlarging materials so that I could read them and making sure that I had the kind of support within the classroom. I had a really good set of friends who helped me get through different things. And as I say, my family were amazing, really helping me. My mum recording some of my school books onto cassette tape at the time because we didn't have access to the audio books that we do today. So all of those things, really. So a combination of the technology and also, love and support of friends and family really got me through what was quite a difficult set of years, really, in my teenage years.
Let's talk about the role technology played in your life then. You know, you said to me that, there was a point where you didn't think you would ever need or want to use a smartphone. How has technology come into your life and changed it, and what made you change your, opinion of technology?
I guess mobile phones kind of, when I was in college, mobile phones started to become much more mainstream. When I started working in sort of the early 2000s, I did have a mobile phone, but it was kind of it would have been a dumb phone, I guess, as it described these days. And I used a magnifying glass to see the screen and kind of work with it. But I guess as the technology advanced, it became very difficult to use them. The font size just wasn't quite so big. I think you could purchase like a screen reading software to go on things like these phones in those days. But again, very expensive, quite inaccessible, really. But then with the emergence of smartphones, I just thought, wow, I'm never going to be able to use this. It's a flat piece of glass. No way to be able to engage with it. I can use a magnifying glass, but the touch screen is going to be almost impossible for me to use. But then later on, I started to hear about things like, screen readers, voiceover, these sorts of things on the phones, and slowly but surely took the plunge into buying one and learning to use it. At the time, it was quite a steep learning curve, but I did get to grips with it fairly quickly. I quite like technology. I like playing with it and I like learning. So I was able to get to grips with the phone and learn how to use all these different features. But more recently, I guess the development of different apps have really come a long way. Things like AI, and there are a number of apps out there that allow you to, you know, take photographs of things. It can read you your letters or your mail or whatever it might be, or can describe the scene, and you know, amazing things that AI can do nowadays that, you know, things that would just be impossible, you know, even 10 years ago, I guess. And it's just astonishing now that I don't think I could live without a smartphone now. So not only for my kind of personal life, but at work as well. So I use a smartphone at work that allows me to kind of read my emails or send messages or you know, do all those kind of things on the go as well, which, there was a time when I just never thought I could do it, really.
Now, you work as a civil servant. How do you find working, you know, in that line of work and having sight loss?
I mean, it can be a challenge. I mean, I guess it's a fairly typical office environment. So a few challenges around commuting and getting to the office and navigating around the office. Typically, my day-to-day work is mostly computer work. That can be quite exhausting. As I say, I typically use a screen magnifier to work around the office software. Relying more and more on speech now. So I try to, even with emails or reports that I have to read, I typically use the speech software to read those out to me. That, for the most part, is quite accessible. There's a few newer pieces of software or a few kind of inbuilt systems that aren't quite so accessible, which makes it a bit difficult and challenging at times. There have been elements of my job throughout my career where I've had to say, look, I'm really sorry, I just cannot do this aspect of my work because I can't, you know, I can't use the magnifier or the screen reading software on this software. So that's been quite hard because I'm not someone who likes to be beaten. I like to try and rise to the challenge if I can and use things even if they're not the most accessible. I think that the challenge is sometimes recognizing your own limitations. I think for me, I really, I like to think, well, I've got the technology, I've got the speech, I've got the magnifier, so I can, I can do what everybody else is doing. But there are times when actually, I do have to work a little bit slower than others, or it's just a little bit more tiring to do things. So I have to pace myself and I have to learn to know when to slow down or know when to stop and kind of manage that.
What would be your message to people who are going through sight loss and who are, you know, newly diagnosed maybe with sight loss and are looking for tips to kind of how to adapt to life with sight loss?
What I would say to people is it is really, really hard to lose your sight, and particularly if you've gone from full sight and that sight has deteriorated over time, there's a definite grieving process to go through. So I wouldn't underestimate that and give yourself time to adjust and adapt. And I think give your friends and family time as well, because it can also affect them. I think when I got married, I had to kind of almost go through that grieving process of losing my sight a second time, because my wife had to go through that experience. She's fully sighted, and so she had to come to terms with the fact that I couldn't see as well either, and that meant our experiences might be different than expected. So she too had to go through that process. So give yourself time and space to do that in whatever way you need to. But I think I'd also say, try not to worry. There is amazing technology these days. There is a lot that people can do. There's, you know, losing your sight doesn't mean that, you know, you lose your entire life. There's lots of things you can do, lots of hobbies, lots of employment opportunities, and the technology allows so much these days. So it is hard, it is difficult, but there is hope as well.
And what a great message to end on indeed. Andy Brown, thank you very much for coming on and sharing your sight loss story with us here on R&IB Connect Radio.